Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
Last week, Steve started a new series, All Things New. And we spent 10 weeks in Genesis chapters 1 through 3, learning about our origin, like our original design, where we came from. It was really good stuff. It ended with what Adam and Eve screwed up for us. Am I right? Yeah. Anybody ever get frustrated every now and then and go, thanks, Adam and Eve? I do that, especially when I'm praying for people, like healing, you know? Infertility, things like that. I'm like, thanks. And then the Lord comes and taps me on my shoulder and says, hey, I restored that. And I'm like, oh man, I got to change my mind about that. Why? Because I was living back then. I was living being homeschooled in the school of Adam instead of schooled in the school of Jesus. Right? Right? So, where he left off, Jesus restored us to, and what we are that he restored us to. He restored us to being righteous children of God. I mean, we're in right standing with God because of Jesus. Is that not totally cool? That we're joint heirs, that we're sons and daughters. Like, we have sonship. Everything that the Father has, we have. We're the light of the world, and we're without blame before God in love. Isn't that, like, awesome? Anybody believe that? Amen. Yeah? A couple of you. Yeah, good. Well, maybe more by the end, right? Well, today we're going to look at what it's like to live out Jesus' mindset in our new creation living. Because it's good to know the truth. But then what do you do? Do you guys ever have like a great revelation, but you're like, how do I apply this to my life? How do I do this in the day to day? What does this look like? You know, do I have to walk around with my nose in my Bible to abide? I mean, what does that look like? So we're going to talk about some of that today. And I'm really excited for what he has for us. But one thing that I want to do is just to beg you on behalf of Jesus to not think of anybody else that is here or that might be listening later, but that you focus on yourself and you ask these tough questions throughout this morning. Jesus, what do you want me to hear for myself this morning? What do you want to show me? And what do I need to change my mind about? Because there's some things that you're going to need to change your mind about. And then you need to be sure that you're willing to hear those things, right? Because it's really easy for you to think, oh, I'm so glad this person is here because I so wanted them to hear this, right? Anybody guilty of that? Some of you are looking at your spouses. Yeah. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, the Lord creates Adam and Eve, and he says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and have dominion. Everybody understands that multiplying is not just having children? Yeah? Okay. For those of you that aren't sure what that means, he created them in their image. They were in the image of Father God, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he created them to have dominion and to multiply his image throughout the world, to deliver the kingdom of God to the world. And then something happened called the fall, and Adam and Eve messed it up, right? But Jesus came and flipped the script, amen? And he gave us a new chance, and he even gave us an example of what it looks like to multiply. How to multiply his life and his image in the earth. So I want to read for you out of Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That word nation means people group. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're supposed to go to Africa, although he might tell you to. But Grace Church is your people group. The people you work with are your people group. The people that live in your home are your people group. So you are to go and make disciples, multiplying his image in your people group. Isn't that cool? And then baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That word baptizing literally means to immerse. And that word name means character. There's a whole lot of other things. But you are to go and make disciples of your people group by immersing them in the character of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How about that? Yeah? How about that? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. That was a perfect example that Jesus gave back our original design to multiply. And he modeled it. Now we think about the disciples. Usually we think about like the 12 apostles. But there were disciples of Jesus. There was a whole lot more. And do you realize that when the Holy Spirit came and those disciples were sent out, that they delivered, they got to deliver with the Holy Spirit the kingdom of God to the world. Disciples are the kingdom of God to the world. So if you go back and look at verse 19, where it says, go and make disciples of your people group. Like, you get to be a delivery system of the kingdom of God to the world, to your people group, immersing them in the character of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's pretty dang exciting, right? And somebody a long time ago nicknamed that the Great Commission. But you're commissioned as an ambassador, as a child of God, to go and do that within your people group. So what does it look like if we're supposed to multiply and have dominion? I talked about dominion earlier with Romans 6:14 before worship was over. But if we're supposed to be fruitful, you have to be attached to the source that's going to give you the fruit, right? You're a branch attached to the vine, right? But if you're not, and so after the fall, we were not in fellowship anymore with God. We were detached. It's impossible to bear fruit if you're not attached to the source that gives you the things to bear fruit, right? So I want to read for you out of the Passion Translation. I love how this reads in John 15:5-8. And it says, I am the sprouting vine and you're my branch. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness, will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you will demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. Now think about that. A lot of your translations say abide, and that word means to remain in, to stay in. It's a life union. So if you take the word abide, and for you, abiding is reading the word, worshiping, and praying. Now those are all great spiritual disciplines that help you on the path to abiding, right? Everybody understand that? But can you remain and stay in those three things all the time? No. Like, you do have to give your kids baths if you've got young ones, right? I mean, kind of, or you can throw them in the swimming pool. But think about it. There are things that you have to deal with. But I had a conversation with a friend yesterday, and we were talking about this. And Annie gave me a word, I don't know, probably a year and a half ago, that I had an avocado seed of fear within me. And the Lord wanted to go in and remove that fear from the root and take it out. Okay? Now, he's built on that for I don't know how long. But Annie is one that has learned and continually learning what it looks like to abide, what it looks like to remain and to stay within him. And so what happened was, she's making dinner and she's cutting an avocado. And what does the Lord start showing her? He starts speaking to her. Now, she could have chose to just make dinner, but instead she chose to remain connected and stayed in connection with the Father. And so because of that, he was able to show her, I don't even like guacamole. I know it's a sin to not like avocados, but I just don't. Okay. I mean, some people say it's a sin. I don't think so because I haven't found it in the Word, and it doesn't look like Jesus's mindset or his behavior to eat avocados, but maybe I'm wrong. But she was trying to tell me like how big this avocado seed. She was like, it was by video, like, look at my thumb and look at the seed. And I'm like, okay, yeah, okay. And she goes, and I couldn't put a knife in it and just remove it like normal. And she realizes I don't have a clue about avocados. So she starts telling me, so I'll understand. And she said, I had to cut into the flesh, the good part of the avocado, to be able to remove that seed. And it started reminding me of that word about the avocado seed of fear and how sometimes we let things get so stuck within us that he has, like, it's so intertwined that sometimes we have to get in there and get it out. She was like, I was just having an observation with my Father. That's what it means to have life union. She didn't have her Bible out reading it while she was making whatever she was making with that avocado. Yum. But she, yum, her husband says yum, yeah. But she was in total life union with the Father. And because of that, he could speak to her while she's cutting an avocado. That's what that means. And it's our choice. It's her choice to do that while she makes dinner or her choice to just make dinner, right? And so in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live. It's like the game with the ball under the cup, and you mix it around, and the one that you're supposed to choose is like got a neon sign lit up with an arrow, like choose this one because you're going to be the winner. That's what this is. So Jesus came and flipped the script. In the beginning, we were told that we needed to be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. And Jesus came and gave us all that. He modeled multiplication by making disciples. He taught us about bearing fruit, and we got to watch it in his life as he was connected to the Father all the time. And he showed us what it looks like to be in life union with him. And then dominion. Even that, there is, like, we have dominion over sin. It doesn't have dominion over us. Do you guys see that? Isn't that totally cool? Do you know that your will is greater than God's will? How about that? So as a friend, as a best buddy, you know, we're going to have a widow's den when our husband die because our husbands are older than us. They're probably going to die before us, Jody and I. And so we've got all these places around the world we're going to have widow's dens, and every 3 months we're going to move, right? So, like, that's pretty tight, right, if you got a widow's den with somebody, right? And so Jesus's mindset is for me to be kind and loving and self-sacrificial to Jody, right? Have I ever been hateful to you? Once or twice. Okay, let's be real. Just say yes. Have I ever thought of myself more than you? Right. So if I'm looking at my will versus God's will is for me to love her and be kind to her. But my will took over. I have a free will. And I can supersede what God is asking me to do. It goes back to that scripture in Psalms. I don't know if you guys remember, but I shared in the welcome part of today, like toe stepping on. Are you going to drag? Are you going to make me drag you through it? And so if our will is stronger than God's will, because he created us to choose to love him, to choose to have life union with him. He wants us so much that he didn't create us to be robots, but he created us to choose. Do you know in the prison, the guards can get the inmates to do anything they want except love them? Think about that. Did anybody have a gun to your spouse's head while they said they'd marry you? Okay, only Robert and Donna Duncan. That was first service. Yeah, that's awesome. But we're going to look at this. We're going to look at what it looks like to say yes to him. Go to Acts 9, starting in verse 1. What it's like to give him our human yes. How many of you guys have heard that word spoken here through Prayer Shield and through services? That we give our human yes, and he takes it, and it becomes our divine yes. You guys heard that? Okay. So Acts 9, verse 1 through 22 is where we're going. So I didn't put it all up on the screen. So it says, then Saul, for one, you know, I was a kid, grew up, you know, I was born Baptist before I was born again. And anybody else like that? Yeah. Okay. So I always had the mindset that like Saul became Paul, and he's walking down this road and this light shone and he fell and he got blinded and all of a sudden he was different. But when you read the scripture, that isn't what it says. He brings a lot of factors into the transformation of Saul. And it's not just that experience, that moment, and that zapping that we all want. We all want to be zapped and be fixed, right? Yes. Yes. So it says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if we found anyone who were of the way, which is Jesus, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads, which is my will. It's hard for you to kick against God's will, but you can do it. And then going into verse 6, this is where Saul gives his yes. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Saul gave his yes. Why? Because he rose and he went. But he's still not transformed. He's just confused and now he can't see. Right? So then in verse 10, Jesus sends the priesthood of the believer in to partner in community and show Saul love. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here am I, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered and said, I love this because this is so us. Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. Ananias married his will to God's will. He heard the voice of the Lord and he obeyed. He changed his mind about Saul. Even though I might be killed, I'm going, right? Right? And so he said here, after he entered the house, he laid hands on Saul and he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys know that's not physical sight? The scales hadn't even fell off, that too. But they haven't even fallen off, right? They're still there. It's his spiritual sight. He was starting to see with God's eyes rather than his own. And then he was filled with the Spirit. And then immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his physical sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. The word baptized is immersed. He arose and he was immersed symbolically in water to be completely immersed in the name, which is the character of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? Do you guys ever wonder what happened to Saul right after he got transformed? I always did. So I love verse 19. It says, so when he had received food, he got to eat. Do you guys see that? And he got strength. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So many times as a kid, I was told when Saul got transformed, he went and preached. But what did he do? He got equipped. He went into community. He submitted himself to others to be able to say, hey, let's grow you up in this. Hey, here's something. I want to challenge you in this, this scripture, this way of thinking. He submitted himself willingly to community for some days. Then he went and preached. And when he went and preached, people were amazed. And not only were they amazed, but they were like confounded. They were surprised. They were confused. If our life is not surprising people that have known us because we're not continually transforming, then there's something that needs to change. Because none of us have arrived. And if our life does not look like the things that Jesus did in here and the mindset of Jesus, we got a problem. There's some things that we need to change our mind about, and we need to believe the good news that he has for us, right? So for me, you know, Steve talked about yesterday, or last week, not yesterday. I mean, he may have yesterday, but about our original position, like I'm using a box of Kleenexes, was here. He used a pen. Before the fall. The fall happened. God sent Jesus to come down and get us because we couldn't get back up, and we were restored to our original position. Not restored to heaven and not restored here, but we were restored to our original position, right? But to do that, we have to change our mind. We have to change our mindset. We have to let his mindset be our motivation for everything in our life. And so for me, one of the scriptures that has totally helped me is Philippians 2. I'm going to put it up here, and I hope I remember to change the slide. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. And it says, look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You are filled to overflowing with his comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt his tender affection and mercy. The next word says, so. Because of that, because you're filled to overflowing, because you're living in life union with me, I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together, not doing it in your own strength, but doing it out of your life union with him and the overflow. I'm asking that you be joined together in perfect unity. I think I need to switch that. Maybe not yet. With one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will be filled with fill my heart with unabounded joy. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity, and do not allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts. Then authentic humility put others first and view others as more important than ourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness and possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. And consider, that means to think upon, the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. And let his mindset be your motivation. So in everything you do, when you're talking about something being restored, put back into original position, sometimes we believe the lie that it can't, that we can't be reconciled and restored to where Jesus has us and what he has for us. but we also don't believe it for others. And we also don't believe it for us and others, right? The reconciliation together. And so if you're focusing on Jesus, what is your mindset? Do you need to pray about it? Do I need to pray if I was hateful to Jody? Do I need to pray about apologizing to Jody? Right. Because his mindset is my motivation. His mindset is reconciliation. Right. And so what I pray about is, Lord, give me an open door. And what is your timing? That's it. There's things that we hide behind in praying for. It's our place to hide. We're stalling. You know, it's one of those pride-filled opinions. You know, they owe this or they whatever. So for me, I had to learn some of this. And I've been walking through discipleship now for a little over a year, about a year and a half, with the Herochurch pastor, Chris Moinks, has been discipling me and a couple others. And I've learned to hear the voice of the Lord differently and walk out obedience. And I've learned to humble myself, not even realizing what pride-filled opinions were, right? Sometimes we, if they're arrogant or cocky, they're prideful. Well, there's a whole lot more to that definition than arrogant and cocky, right? Right? And so last April, we were at a women's event here, and we were asked this question, to ask Jesus, what is my heart closed off to? So I asked him, and this is what he said. He said, Gretchen, your heart is closed off to a certain person that they'll ever change. And not only that they'll ever change, but they'll ever see you the way that they used to see you, and even more the way I see you. And your heart is closed off to that. And I was like, wow, okay. We're supposed to write it on a card and bring it up to the altar. And I was like, I ain't letting anybody see this name, right? You guys know what that looks like? And then I, in discipleship with Chris, the Lord started moving on my heart, showing me that I lived a life where I needed to self-protect. That was my mindset. My mindset was, it didn't matter what happened to me in the end, I was going to get totally screwed. I was going to get burned. I was going to get hurt. And so because of that, I had to protect myself. And the Lord challenged me with that in Psalm 28, verse 7. It says, the Lord is your strength and your shield. And that word strength is security. And the word shield means the scaly hide of a crocodile or the shell of a turtle. So I wear these turtles around my wrist to remind me that his shell is over me. And I don't have to self-protect, because I've seen humans stand on large turtle shells and them not be hurt. And people can walk on them, but they're walking on the shell, not on the turtle, right? You guys see that? So then I don't have to be defensive anymore. I don't have to self-protect. I don't have to do those kinds of things. And then on August 25th, this word came to Prayer Shield, and I'm not going to read it all, but it's up there. But it's just a move of holy sanctification, a complete move where interruptions of flesh patterns are going to die, where I'm going to come to myself and die. Like, I'm going to die. I don't want any part of myself. And honor's coming, where our lips are anointed by heaven, and our tongues have been tempered by love. And so this was in August, and the Lord just keeps doing things in my life and showing me things, and I'm letting him change me. I'm going to dismantle this stuff. Why? Because I want to see his glory fall. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. I want to obey him, and I want to see his glory fall. I want to be able to multiply his image throughout the earth, and I want to do it with my life, not just my words. And he kept asking me things like, you talk about laying down your life for people. What does that look like for you, Gretchen? What are you going to give up? What are you going to lay down? So in October, I had some more healing, some more revelation. And this person came back to me that the Lord brought to me in April. And he said, are you going to say yes? And I said, yes, I'm going to say yes to whatever you want, because I'm safe in you and I'm protected. And it doesn't matter what way anything goes, I'm willing. I just said, you tell me when. I didn't need to pray about it. It's his mindset for reconciliation, right? It's mindset for restoration. And so the next morning, taking a shower, and he said, today's the day, her office. It's Tuesday. I have meetings from 8:30 to 6. How in the world is this going to work? You guys ever been there where you're like, nah, I'm not hearing right. And so, anyway, I went not with a confidence of arrogance, but in a confidence knowing that I didn't have anything to prove and I didn't have to defend myself. And I was going with his heart to be my motivation. And that's it. You guys see what that's like? So that's a part of me walking out my new creation identity in the day to day, in my life. And it's been a journey. I mean, there's so many pieces to the puzzle you don't have. If you could open up my prayer journal and read it, you would have more pieces, but I'm not going to let you. But, but as you learn to walk this out on a daily basis, you have to ask yourself, I don't need to pray about this. I need your timing. I don't even need to pray for courage, because the courageous one lives inside of me, right? Right? So I want to ask Stacy to come up here, because she has been going through some massive learning how to live out new creation living, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it.
Let me get my stuff out of here.
Mm-hmm. On. Can you hear me? Awesome. Well, I guess you guys figured out I'm the friend, right? I'm the one that she had to put on that.
Did they figure out? Because first service didn't.
Well, I'm the friend. Yeah.
Yeah, you are the friend.
Yeah.
So where do you want to go to that?
Continue with your story.
So I text her, said I had something on my heart. This was in October. And could I visit with her? She said, yeah. Will my office be okay? Or would somewhere else be better? And I was like, your office, are you kidding me? Yes. Because that's what he showed me in the shower.
We love it when God gives us little nuggets like that. Yeah. And then it's like confirmation. Okay, yeah, I'm hearing you. Yeah.
And I had no clue what I was going to say. No clue. No clue. I just knew it was his heart and that it was time. And so I walked in and said, well, I don't know what I'm going to say, so let's pray.
Yep. And that was the icebreaker, because it's funny. I think we both at different times didn't know what to expect in that. And I think at one point she maybe thought I was going to harm her, and I think maybe she was going to harm me. Isn't that funny how the enemy does that?
Yeah.
Those kind of things?
I mean, we've been friends since we got in relationship when I was 19, and I'm not 19 anymore, right? And she was matron of honor at my wedding, and Noelle used to tear up our house as a little girl, and Brian and I used to love it. We're like, oh.
So we were probably super close friends for, what, 10 or 12 years?
Yeah, or longer. Yeah.
So something. It's not just, she wasn't just an acquaintance of mine. We had a real friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, man, I allowed the enemy to come in and isolate me and just little whispers, you know, he's so subtle with this and that. And I allowed him to destroy a friendship that we had. That he brought together. It wasn't us, mm-hmm. right?
No, it wasn't us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, walking into her office was a good day, but not everything was fixed. No. Not everything was warm and rosy. We did have a great visit. Steve was in Honduras, so we sent him a selfie by email. Josh, I think you were with him when he got the email, and he was like, wow, right? Because he FaceTimed us at dinner later that night.
Yeah.
But a couple of weeks ago, Steve shared a bit of your transformation,
yeah,
your time in the closet, and some of those things. And before that happened, I was asking myself, okay, Lord, what does it look like for me to lay my life down for Stacy, for her to be able to have healing and peace and freedom? Because that's my ultimate goal, because that's yours. And I'll do whatever. And he didn't give me an answer, but I know his mind set. And so I went with that. And I made some different moves, communicated them to her, made some decisions. And she was like, we need to talk. And so she came over to my house on the Thursday before her experience in the closet. And man, that was a good day.
What's so awesome is in the communication, which was, even though we reconciled in October and it was very sincere, I wasn't at a place to where I was abiding in Christ. And so you can have these feel-good experience moments with a person, mm-hmm. but unless it's out of Christ and mm-hmm. his love for each other, that's all it is. It's just an experience. And that experience, it's really going to leave you chasing more experiences, right? If you don't fill that with Christ's love,
yeah.
and allow him to be your expression. So even though we did reconcile, mm-hmm. This is funny. She used the analogy. Mm-hmm. And both Gretchen and I, before even October, we were like, all right, God. I mean, we knew what was right. And so we were like, just reconcile us to here. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be here. It doesn't have to be where we were.
We don't
were.
Have to go on vacations anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I think she wanted to champion me. Mm-hmm. That was hers. God, we don't have to be best friends. I just want to champion her. And mine was like, Lord, we don't have to be best friends. I just want to be able to go to church and not feel weird, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But God was not satisfied with that, right? He wanted to take us here. Mm-hmm. And that is God, because we weren't even in that mm-hmm. mindset, right?
Right.
So where did I go before what was I saying before that?
Well, we were at my house talking,
yes.
and you were talking. I don't remember where you were at.
I don't know where. You don't know? I mean, you don't know in my brain where I was
no,
going?
I know.
So, okay. Come on,
fight
friend.
Number one of the new relationship. I don't know where your brain is at. Sorry.
Okay. So what's funny, though, she sent me the text, and it didn't settle with me what was in the text. It wasn't anything bad, but didn't settle mm-hmm. with me. If my actions are going to affect somebody to this degree, you have to think, hey, what actions are you putting out there? Mm-hmm. And so I just said, can we please meet? I don't want to talk about this via text or over the mm-hmm. phone. And so we went, and it wasn't about anything in the text. Honestly, it was about where I was and what the Lord was dealing with me.
Yeah, you came in my house, and Josh was there pouring concrete, doing yeah. my footing that day. You were a part of this, bud. You were a part of both. Look at that.
Hey.
But what's really awesome is she came in, and I said, how's your day been? And she goes, weepy. And I was like, oh, gosh, I'm a loser. I'm so sorry. I'm like, dear God, help me. And because this is not my heart. I know it's not your heart. She goes, I've just been listening to that teaching like you sent me. I listened to it 4 times. And I don't have that. And I was like, oh my gosh, what teaching did I send her? You know, I'm like trying to remember.
Yeah.
So I was very glad it wasn't us. And we spent 4 hours that day, and then you went home, changed clothes, and then we went to the restaurant for a couple more.
Yeah.
And about 10 minutes of it was about us.
Yeah. The rest of it was all about the Lord and where I wasn't with the Lord. And you don't know mm-hmm. what you don't have until you have it.
Yes.
And I feel like when I was 16, I had an encounter that I really got saved. But through listening to teachings and even listening to my husband up here preach, when he would say things, I'd be like, I wasn't willing to die to myself. Mm-hmm. I wasn't willing to give up my life for that. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't see the fruit. When they would talk about the fruit of the Spirit, I didn't have that. When people would, Gladys is one of them, man, when she talks about Jesus, she lights up. She is in love with him. I didn't have that same feeling. I was like, I'm missing something. I always knew I was missing something, mm-hmm. but I didn't know what it was. And so she sent a teaching, and in that teaching, it stirred something in me that there's more out there than what I'm experiencing. And so I'm just in the closet doing laundry.
On Saturday.
On a Saturday, what you do. And I was also listening to teaching again, and in that, he was talking about knowing God. And that he wants to spend time with you. And that just, and I had been so dead inside for so long. Mm-hmm. And I was hungry mm-hmm. and thirsty for something. Yeah. And I didn't even know what it was.
Well, at my house that Thursday, you kept saying, just tell me what I need to do. I just want God to zap me. And I was like, I'm not telling you what to do. Because why? When we tell people what they should do and it works out, we just got on the throne of their heart. And if we tell people what to do and it doesn't, man, you've just represented Jesus in a really bad way.
Yeah.
But you have to let him speak to them.
Yeah.
And so I would say, How bad do you want it?
She asked me that probably 6 times. How bad do you want this?
Because she's like, I don't want to live like this. How bad do you want it? I was just waiting because in October, the Lord showed me this picture right here. And the Lord showed me about discipleship in my house. But I didn't tell her.
Yeah.
But I wanted to know, how bad did she want it?
So some of us, wherever you are, how bad do you want it? Mm-hmm. I mean, you may want change. So that's just step one, wanting it. But then you've got to walk that out with him, right? But in order to walk that out with him, I had to have him. Mm-hmm. And that's what I didn't have. Mm-hmm. I didn't have him. I was doing church without him. And that is the most miserable place mm-hmm. to be, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was allowing the hurt that someone mm-hmm. else was living. Mm-hmm. That happened back in 2007. I started allowing that. I took it personal. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was mm-hmm. personal, mm-hmm. but honestly, now looking back, that person was hurting.
Right.
And I started allowing what that person did, who in my mind was a Christian, mm-hmm. To getting my eyes on myself mm-hmm. and other people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if that's what a Christian was like, I didn't really want to have any part of it. I didn't see any fruit there. And so within that, my eyes were on myself. And whatever anybody did, they were deciding me.
Your happiness.
My yeah. happiness and my relationship mm-hmm. with the Lord, really. And so with that, if you have to have a person be a certain way, for you to be okay, I think that's a warning mm-hmm. sign that your identity is not in Christ. You're putting your identity in somebody else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is death. Mm-hmm. I was on the verge. I've had some pretty dark times. And so when I get to speak to people, I'm like, I know the darkness you're talking about because I lived it. I lived it. And so back to my closet experience, though, I went in there just to do laundry, and the guy on the tape was talking about how he wants to spend time with you. When you get that revelation of your value to the Father and how he didn't die just because you're a sinner, but mm-hmm. he died for your value, mm-hmm. your whole mindset changes. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, I fell to the floor. My hands went up in a sign of surrender, and I was like, I want you. I want you, and I want all that you have for me. And all these lies just started flying out of my mouth. All the things that I allowed the enemy to isolate mm-hmm. and tell me that this is you. Mm-hmm. in that you're hopeless. Mm-hmm. The situation is hopeless. Life is never going to change. Mm-hmm. And I had moments that life, I didn't think life was ever going to change. Mm-hmm. So why even be here?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, but I'm here to offer hope today. Because nothing is impossible through him.
Yeah.
We didn't see reconciliation to this degree mm-hmm. a year ago, mm-hmm. 5 years ago.
I didn't see it 5 weeks ago.
5 weeks ago. Yeah. So.
I didn't see it 5 weeks ago. Well, so you talked about you in your closet, you had lies, but you also were saying yes to some
yes.
things. Why do you think it took you so long to say yes?
Man, I think I had just got so miserable. I had reached rock bottom, and there was nowhere else to go other than saying yes to him. I knew I was missing something, and I had tried everything
yeah.
to fill that void, mm-hmm. everything. And nothing ever filled it.
Mm-hmm.
Not like him. Yeah.
Tell us about him.
Man,
who is he to you now?
Woo! He is. He
so
is
this is glimpses of the new friendship. I used to get texts like, hey, what kind of printer should I buy? And should I change this data plan? And, you know, or something that wasn't so grand. I mean, we never had fights, but it was just awkward. And now I'm getting texts like, oh my gosh, did you read it? Romans 8:32. You got to read it. Oh my gosh.
And then I send her the little dancing girl
yeah.
the emoji, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And flames. And we're all like, yes.
So in my closet, many times I thought, am I even saved? Not in my closet, but throughout the last year, am I even saved? Because I don't have the fruit of the Spirit with me. I walked in that closet one way, and I walked out a total different person. New creation. And when I tell someone this, I'm like, I know you don't know because you didn't live inside of me, but I'm telling you, this is new creation to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when I read this, I had to go find this, guys. Okay.
It was boxed up, right?
It's boxed up. And you might have been the one that gave this to me, Miss Greenwood. Yes. It's my favorite because it has big print. And it's amplified.
I am enjoying holding the phone out like this to her sometimes. You know,
yeah.
like, hey, read this.
But man, now when I get into the scripture, it comes alive
yeah,
to
right.
me. Before, when I would just read, it wasn't getting through. Mm-hmm. It's like what Steve always says, you know, God is speaking spirit and we're speaking man.
Right.
I was reading with man mm-hmm. eyes.
Right.
You know, I read this now with spiritual eyes. I mean, this has come to life.
Your scales have fallen off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, this is not really about my testimony, although it's taken up a little bit of time.
It's fine.
It was not my intention. But this was about our new creation mm-hmm. identity and what that looks like.
And living.
So we wanted to give you a little backdrop and how
mm-hmm.
how I didn't have that. So that's where all that came in. But
because if you don't know that, you think she's always had it, right?
Yeah, because you think she's Pastor Steve's wife.
Oh, let me get on that soapbox.
Yeah.
You want me to get on that
yeah.
soapbox?
Take
okay.
it away.
So listen, we do a real injustice to people that go through transformation. And the Lord shows us stuff that how they're going to impact the kingdom and what they're going to do. And we go tell them because we think it's encouraging. And we put pressure on them when they're just like Stacy Lynn Eden is just learning to be a daughter of the King. That's where she needs to be. So if I had told her that Thursday setting in my house in February, or I had told her after her closet experience, or I had told her in October that I saw us doing this and some other things that I saw. Wow, what pressure,
yeah.
right? What pressure. If I had showed her, told her, I think we're going to be in weekly discipleship together. What pressure.
Which I never wanted that part.
Yeah. She even said at my house Thursday, I want you to help me. Maybe you can walk me through this, but I mean, not like disciple me or anything.
I didn't want to be vulnerable.
Right.
I didn't want to be real in front of people.
So what do you do every Sunday night with 8 people?
Man, there's no pride there. It's just real. I lay it all out, and it's not even a second thought. It is not even a second thought what those people are thinking mm-hmm. of me mm-hmm. at all.
Yeah. So I mentioned I've been being discipled by Chris, and last year was my first group to disciple, and I got the pleasure of discipling 11. And this year I have the pleasure of discipling 8, and Stacy's one of them. And that's one of the things that she said yes to in her closet. Mm-hmm. When she finally told me that Thursday how bad she wanted it, then I finally gave her an invite, because if she doesn't want it bad, it's going to be harmful to her. Right? But just because she's married to Steve doesn't mean she's going to be preaching all the time, and doesn't mean she's going to be doing this and doing that. The Lord will lay out to her her call as she's and when she's learned to be a daughter of the King. And so as her whatever I am, friend, the person, I don't know, you spend Sunday evenings with now in my house, I'm telling you, if you get a word or you get a vision of her future, write it down and then wait for the open door. And not just her, you need to do that for every person that's growing and maturing in Christ, because we can put a lot of expectations on people, right? So let's talk real quick about intentional discipleship and what happened. Like, you talk about you're being real and vulnerable and things like that. So tell us about the Tuesday you enrolled Joshua.
So after my closet experience, I didn't feel like he's done yet. He's still, there was some more.
Yeah. Listen, guys, it's not an experience. Like, Saul did not get transformed on the road.
Yeah.
It was a conforming that came in. Mm-hmm. It was a walking out.
Yeah.
It was hanging out with the disciples, learning and growing and then doing.
Yeah.
So it's not, we focus on these experiences and these moments, and it's not that.
It's daily communication with him. It's making yourself available to him to use you that day, however that turns up. And that has shown up since this time in doing something as simple as holding an elevator door for a coworker that I know does not like me, right? It's making myself available for another. I work in special ed at the State Department of Education, and so I do work with a young lady that has Down syndrome. She's 37, but she's on the level of a 13-year-old, and so she and I have worked together for 4 years. We have a relationship, and she tends to kind of get distracted with drama of life, and so she likes to come and tell me, you know, what's going on. And I've always just tried to offer advice, like, well, maybe, you know, you should think about the positive instead of what's making you sad about the situation or whatever. You know, that's just my normal habit. But when you make yourself available and you ask the Lord, use me today, how do you want to spend me today? You open yourself up, and he'll speak to you. If you seek him with your whole heart, you're going to find him. And so in that situation, she came to me that morning and was down about a situation, missing Craig and whatever. And my normal would be to offer her advice, but that day I was listening. And so I asked the Lord, I felt like the Lord said to ask her, what does she need from you? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did. So Heather, mm-hmm. I'm going to pray for you about that situation, but what do you need from me? And she was like, she's just kind of taken back by that, because what she's used to is the advice. Mm-hmm. And then she's always, yeah, but
right.
Whatever advice I'd give, yeah, but.
Right.
So she was like, well, I just need you to be here for me. I was like, okay, well, I'm here for you anytime. And so she left. I'm doing my work. She's back like 3 minutes later. And she says, actually, Stacey, what I need is a hug. I just need a hug. So it's just something like that.
That's the fruit of abiding.
Yeah. It's just being willing to
hear. It's like the avocado seed making mm-hmm. dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. So then the other part of abiding is being, like I said, open to the Spirit. So every man, I'm in love with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so he's who I think about when I go to sleep. He's who I wake up and think about in the mornings. And so every morning when I get up, before the joy I used to have when I was going to sleep, I wasn't thinking about Jesus. I was thinking about my caramel vanilla coffee that I'm going to get the next morning, right? So that was going to be my joy for the day. Not so much anymore. I'm waking up and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, it's me and you today. Let's do this. What do you got for me? I'm making myself available. And then I got a good 40-minute drive to work. Talk about intimacy time you can have in your car with just you and Jesus.
Yeah.
So a lot of that, a lot of making yourself available, allowing the Lord to speak to you, getting in his word, going in with expectations that he is going to speak to you.
Yeah.
I have a place in my planner that says words from the Lord out of intercession. So I have made a spot in my planner that he's already going to speak to me. And when he gives those things to me, I'm writing them down.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And I got some things down.
That's awesome. You got some things you're going to study.
Yes. I have
some things you're going to study. Mm-hmm.
So as he gives me things that I want to study out, like the baptism, which we have.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So I was talking about that, wasn't I?
Or you were to. I said, tell me about the day you went and enrolled Joshua.
Yeah, yeah. So back to that. I had taken off work in the afternoon because I had to go pre-enroll Joshua for 11th grade. And that morning, I'd had this. I knew I needed more, and I really felt I needed to get baptized. And so that morning, I'm all dressed up. I work at a corporate job. I'm dressed corporately. I'm thinking, I've got to get baptized. I need to get baptized. And so
immersed in the character of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't want any part of that old mindset. You know, and I wanted that. And so I was like, okay, well, after I get done with Joshua, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to get baptized. And so Joshua, we go through the thing, and he's like, hey, can we go to lunch now? And man, I didn't want to go to lunch. I wanted to go get baptized.
Joshua, I'll take you to lunch.
But, you know, I love my son, so I was like, yeah, let's go to lunch, you know. So we went to lunch, and by that time after lunch, Steve had called me, and he was on his way to a funeral. And I was like, man, I missed my opportunity. I'm not going to be able to get baptized. Steve's not going to be there. And then I knew she wasn't going to be there either because she was also going to that funeral. And then I was visiting with Steve about it, and he was like, well, we don't even keep water in the baptistry up here except when they're doing the normal one. It's like, so I just kept thinking, man, I'm just not going to get baptized. And then somehow she and I were talking the next morning, and she was talking about things that you were studying, right? And the baptism was part of it. Being water baptized was part of it. And that just was like, yes. I said, I want to study that too. That's in my notes to study book. And I was like, and I want to get baptized.
She goes, I was asking the Lord on the way to work this morning, do I need to just baptize myself in the shower?
I was willing to baptize myself in the shower because I needed to get baptized.
And I said, well, let's just baptize you, girl. She goes, okay. So this is our discipleship group praying over her before she got baptized in my bathtub at our discipleship group. And which you can see her hand. She's trying to keep her hand out of there. So I like grabbed her hand and was like, get it in there, woman. This is my absolute favorite, though. I know you can't see it well, but the absolute joy that radiates. And something she told me on the phone when we were talking about, let's just do it, was she said, I want everything that is not him inside of me to come out into that water. And when it goes down that drain, I want it to go right down it. And I want only him left.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. What's so cool about that, which was like, you know, she talked at the very beginning about a little kiss from Jesus. What's so cool about it is my 9-year-old, every time he's sick, he wants to take a bath. And he said, I need to take a bath because I'm going to ask Jesus to take all of these germs out of my body and send them down the drain with the water. Isn't that completely so? I was just like, oh my gosh, we got to do it in my bathtub. This is like phenomenal. So we didn't tell anybody in our discipleship group except Zach Martin, I think. I told, and it was because, oh, he was bringing dinner. And I wanted to know, well, what was for dinner tonight? Because trying to coordinate it. Because I didn't want to plan it. Like, I didn't want it to be at 5 o'clock we're going to baptize her, at 6. Like, let's just see when the Holy Spirit wants to immerse her in the character and the nature of the Father, the Son, and of Himself.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that so awesome?
Yeah.
So the guys in the picture of us praying, it's just the girls because the guys are all in the background videoing and taking pictures, and it was great fun. And that is a true picture right there of, yeah,
reconciliation.
So my heart in today was just to show you, like, you can read Acts 9 and you can see the transformation and the process that the Lord has for you through Saul. But sometimes we can't put it in what it looks like in life. You know, what it looks like in a real life. And there's so many aspects of the last year for me that have looked like Saul's. So many of the last couple of months for us and for you personally, that's looked like it. And so, anything else you want to say? I mean, I know we can do this for hours.
Yeah,
she came up and grabbed Steve's sermon yesterday, and I was up here, and she was like, I want to go try the chairs out and see if I can touch the floor or whatever. And 2.5 hours later, she left. So. And we didn't gab. Like, that's what I'm like. I have another friend that I don't have to talk about life with. I can talk about the life.
Yes,
and that's what I love, that lunch we had. That lunch we had, and you texted me. You said, I'm so glad we're getting to have lunch as friends and not as, not having a meeting. And it's just awesome because, like, I like talking about my kids because the Lord teaches me stuff through them. But that's it. Like Wyatt with the germs going down the bathtub drain. I mean, how awesome. That's a spiritual picture. And if you're abiding in Him, you see those things. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. Pray for us.
Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the love that you have for us.
Yes, Lord.
And for this opportunity to be able to bring the to you.
Yes.
Whenever we set our self aside and focus on you, surrender to you, give it all to you, there is life in that.
Yeah.
And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today that is struggling with darkness, hopelessness, that they're allowing the enemy to just isolate them, I pray, Father, that their eyes would be open today. Holy Spirit, speak to them to change their mind in that it's okay to be real with people and it's okay to let people love on you. And that love comes from you. And that is the most joy that they will ever experience. Father, I thank you and I love you so much. And I pray for these people, Lord. And that you would just continue to pour your love out on them.
Yes.
And that they not only receive it, but they dance in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Life union.
Yes.
Complete and total life union with you.
Yes, Jesus.
Father, just as Stacy prayed, if there's anybody, those with tears falling, I just invite you to come to the front. Let the Lord love on you.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.com.